I want us to look at what God has given me from dry bones to new life. You know, when the Lord worked with me on this message, it seemed like it was going in two different directions. But then the Lord showed me how that he wanted to tie it together. He wanted us to see how that, to understand what God's intent is. He wants to show us how able and how capable he is to do things that we need him to do to make the impossible possible. And then help us to be able to partake of this great plan, this great possibility, this great, the goodness of God and his almighty power. You know, I think we sell him too short. We look at our sickness and our problems, and we act like he can't do anything. We act like he can't do it. Either we have to do it, or somebody else, the doctor or somebody, has to do it. But God is an almighty God, and he has all power in heaven and earth. Yes. He made the earth and all that therein is, and he made us. And he is not limited in his ability to work. No matter what we are going through, no matter how dark the day is that we're living in, the power of God still exists in this time. And he wants to show us that. He wants us to realize that I'm still God Almighty. I can't hardly get away from that thought. He is the living God. And he has all power in heaven and earth is in his hand. The other day I had a fall. If it wasn't for the power of God, I would have had some broken bones.
Lord have mercy.
But I didn't. And I had a real bad fall. That fall I had was worse than the one I had this time. I mean here, the last time. But God was there. He was there to keep from any bone getting broken.
Thank you, Lord.
It was my shoulder. It was my head. It was my right side of my hip. All of that was affected, and yet not one of those bones were broken.
Thank you, Lord.
But I had severe pain in my shoulder. My shoulder had torn, has a torn rotator cuff already. And then I fall and severe pain, but God is the Almighty God.
Thank you, Lord.
And so Sunday, I went for prayer. And the brother said, "Lord, make it normal tomorrow." I never heard anybody pray like that before. But on the morrow, when I got up, I didn't feel any pain. The things that I usually would do and have pain, I didn't have it.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, though, the enemy wasn't satisfied, and he'd been trying to challenge me, but I keep claiming it anyway. And so I thank the Lord that we have this great and mighty God. Now look, I want to look in Ezekiel 37 and start at the first verse. I would like if we could have somebody to read this for me. You know, Jesus said, "When I come back, shall I find faith on the earth?" Do you know we're living in a time when our faith is challenged? But I believe tonight the Lord wants to inspire faith and confidence in his ability and his willingness to do the things we have need of.
Yes.
And whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's temporal, whatever the case is, God Almighty is able to work a wonder for us. So let's go to Ezekiel 37.
The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, whose waves were full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry.
Yes. Lord,
he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Yes. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto thee, them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Then saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I'll bring up flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you,
yes,
and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded.
Yes.
And as I prophesied, there was a noise.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone.
Yes.
And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and they shall live. So I prophesied as commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army.
Thank the Lord.
Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel.
Yes.
Behold, they say our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our part.
Okay, you stop right there. You see how these were an impossible situation. You had bones, not freshly dead bones, but that been dead so long till they were dry, very dry.
Lord, help.
And yet God's power was able to put all the, and not only that, the bones weren't together. So he put the bones together, and then he put the skin and everything on the bones and gave it breath. It was looking like a hopeless situation.
Yeah, right.
Look around you. Do you have some situations that look hopeless?
Lord help.
So dry, look like there's no way there's going to be any life in it. God wants to put hope, and he wants to put life in those dry bones. I was thinking about, I won't say her name, but there's a child that is in very serious condition. If you look at that condition, you would say it's hopeless. There's no hope for him. The enemy has taken advantage. The child is pining away, it seems. And yet I know that the power of God can give life to this child.
Yeah.
She's just 14 years old. But God can bring life.
Yeah.
We need to have faith and confidence in the power of God when we pray for these cases and when we fast for them, that God has the same power as he did right here in Ezekiel's town.
That's right.
And dry bones, I can imagine part of the hand might be over here. Part of the arm might be over here. The leg might be back here. The head might be here. Can you imagine the scene he saw? It was a valley full of dry bones, and they were so dry they'd been there no telling how many years. But God's power, this hand came to the right arm. They didn't get all mixed up.
That's right.
The right foot came to the right leg.
That's
And all the parts came together.
Thank the Lord.
Because of God. Let us look to God. Let's have faith and confidence that nothing is too hard for God. That's what the message he wants us to get. There's not a thing that we're dealing with that's too hard for him. It might be a financial situation. Look like I'm going to lose everything. But the power of God can work when it seems like there's no way. It might be an emotional problem. It seems like we just can't make it. We're crushed down under a heavy load. But the power of God will lift us up. Yes. All we need to do is look to God. Believe in him. Trust in him. And he will bring it to pass. That's what he said in his scripture. It is up to us to believe him. Oh, I just hope that we can all get a hold to this. This the enemy of our soul has made so much darkness till it seems like it's no hope. Some might think it's no hope for America. It may not be. But God can work in spite of it. Maybe no hope in some of these things they're trusting in, but not in the power of God. So let's be encouraged. Now we want to finish reading here and see how God can bless from 12 to 14.
Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord.
You see, God brought that hope to those dry bones and gave them a new life. Whatever their life was before, he gave them a new life, brand new life, and breathed into them. And he wanted us. This was for the house of Israel, but it's for us today to realize that even when it seemed like there is no way out, God will find a way. He don't have to find it. He will make a way. Amen. There's a scripture that says something about there's river in the desert.
Yes.
Do you know what that scripture is?
46.
Okay.
God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not be feared, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God.
Yes.
Amen. And then there's also another one that says he makes a river in the desert. I don't know. You know, if you go to a desert, you do not expect a river. You may get a little bit of water somewhere, but desert is dry. And our land and our environment and our nation and in the time we're living in is very dark and dry. And we need the river of God flowing at this time. And
yes,
he will do it. We just must believe. Let's trust in God. Let's don't doubt him. Let's know that he will make a river in the desert. I think it's in Isaiah, but I'm not sure.
So it's from Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 33, did you say?
I'm not sure.
19.
Okay.
Yes, that's the one you're wanting. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Make a way in the wilderness. No doubt in the wilderness it would be a confusing, a lot hard to find your way. But he'll make a way in the wilderness,
yes.
and what rivers in the desert. Thank the Lord for his loving kindness. So he wants us, as his people, to lift up our eyes beyond the darkness, beyond the negative and the difficult circumstance and the impossible circumstance, and have great faith in God. Romans 15 and 13.
Thou art God of all hope.
Yes.
Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
The God, he's a God of hope. Isn't that a wonderful message to give to the world? People looking around, sometimes, I believe so many people, if you talk to maybe some homeless people or people without so many things have happened to them, they feel like there's no hope. There are people that are on the verge of taking their lives because they feel there is no hope. And if we just point them to God and help them to realize that God loves you, yeah. God cares about you, God is a God of hope. He is the God of hope.
Yes.
We can't put our hope and trust in the things of this world because they'll fade away. They'll disappoint us, but we can surely hope in God.
Right.
Now let's go to Mark 10. And 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So looking at impossible situations, we can say, yeah, with men it's impossible, but not with God. We want to be encouraged tonight. This, I may not be up here very long, but I want us to have hope beyond our circumstances.
Amen.
Now let's look at Hebrews 6, 13, 19.
For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. 19.
All the way to 19. 13, all the way to 19.
So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men rarely swear by the greater, and oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, will he more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul,
thank you, Lord,
most sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil.
You see, this hope is steadfast and sure.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people put their hope in things that you can't count on. Mm-hmm. But this is one hope that's solid.
Yes.
We can count on the Lord. Anything he tells us, he will do it. And we just have to believe him and accept him, yep, what he says. We don't have to pine away in sickness or in physical or emotional or spiritual or any of those other things. We don't have to pine away because we have a God. He didn't have to swear by anything greater. If we do, we'd have to have something greater. He swore by himself. He doesn't make no tell any lies. What he tell is the truth, and we can stand on it, and we can base our hope on what he says. The Lord said this, he'll do it. The Lord said that, he'll do it. So we need to have that kind of faith, solid, knowing that God, there is no greater. There is no greater. He's the greatest of all.
Yes.
So he can swear by himself, and it's so.
Amen.
God said it, and it's so. I sure appreciate having something solid. I don't like to have to depend on something that you may happen and may not happen. I like to depend on God because I know what he said is going to happen. Let's go now to Romans. Let's look at Abraham. He made that promise to Abraham. He made that promise to Abraham, and you know, it didn't happen right away. Sometimes when he makes us a promise, it may not happen right now or the next day. But if he promises it, you can believe it's going to happen. So Abraham had faith in God, and he had to wait a long time. I was thinking about how many times the Lord has shown his great power. But sometimes he wants us to get to a place where it looks like there's no way out. So we can glorify him. He'll get the glory. You know, if, for instance, if, say, something happened and we had a way to kind of fix it up to make things go, God doesn't get the glory. If you look back, we'll go get back to Abraham, but if you look in the Old Testament, for instance, when the walls of Jericho came down, he gave them a way to do it that was absolutely nobody could get any glory but God.
Lord,
how can walking around a building, a city, one time every day, not saying anything, seven times on the last day, and everything quiet, and then shout and the walls fall down.
That's right.
No way couldn't anybody get it. You can't say somebody took some kind of special like bomb or something to blow it up or hit on it and knock it. You could not say anything about anything but God. And I believe today he wants to do that. I believe still today he allows us to get in situations that look like no way out but God.
Yes.
Because he gets the glory. And then look at Gideon. Gideon goes to fight a battle. He had too many people. The Lord told him, you have too many. He had to keep getting down. And he goes with 300 people. And look at Elijah. When he was there and those people were surrounding him, he didn't have to put a finger to that. God took care of it. And he wants to do the same for us today. Let us realize that we are serving a God that's able to do anything, and nothing is too hard for him. All right. Romans 4. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, Romans 4, 16 to 21.
Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Yes.
And so therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also.
Yes.
None of it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Thank the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And you see, Abraham, he didn't stagger at the promise of God. He knew God was going to do it. God could have made them have that baby when they were young.
Yeah.
He could have. He made the promise to him. I don't know how old he was then, but he waited. Abraham was about 100 years old. You know, no 100-year-old man is going to he and his wife have a baby, and she was what, 90?
90.
You see, he let it go all the way till it was impossible for anybody to think that that was just normal life happening.
Yeah.
And the same with us. He wants to inspire faith to realize who we are dealing with.
Yes.
We're not dealing with no little puny God that can't do nothing, can't say nothing, can't perform. We're dealing with a God that's so great and so mighty that he can move mountains. He can raise the dead. And he can call those things that be not as though they were.
Yes.
Thank the Lord for this wonderful God. When I get to talking about this God like this, I get real happy.
Thank the Lord.
He is such a great and mighty God. But he wants us to be able to recognize what he will do, what he can do. I hear a lot of people say, yeah, I know the Lord can do this. Yes, you know it. Do you believe it? Do you believe he will do it? If he says he's going to do it, he will do it. And so Abraham didn't stagger at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Let us be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, we want to see how that God wants to resurrect. If a person is not saved and they need a resurrection, tonight the Lord can take up that dead condition and breathe new life into
That's
it.
Right. Yes.
Let's go to Romans 6 and 4.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
The Lord will give us new life. If we do not have it tonight, it is for us tonight, for the asking. And I want to read one more scripture, Ephesians 2 and 1.
And you have been quickened. We were dead in trespasses and sin.
All the way to 6, I'm sorry. 2:1-6, all the way.
Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God,
yes,
who is rich in mercy.
Yes.
For his great love wherein he loved us.
Yes.
Even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye are saved, and has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
What a wonderful experience. You know, when you're in the world and when you're not living for God, you are dead. There is no spiritual life whatsoever. Sometimes the relatives, they talk like, you know, they talk a good talk. But they're living in their death. They're living in a dead state of sin. But you know what? God wants to quicken. Raise that person up that's dead and give them a new life in Christ. That's what God has for us. So there is hope in Christ. I was thinking about a song that Sarah sings. There's peace in Christ. But in that song, it says something about hope. Do you remember?
He gives us hope when hope is
gone. Okay, can you sing it?
There is peace in Christ when we walk with him through the streets of Galilee to Jerusalem. When the broken heart dries the tears in his eyes, if we live the way he lived, there is peace in Christ. He gives.
The Lord. And so we know that maybe every look like hope is gone when you look around you, but there is hope in Christ.
Yes.
There's peace in Christ, and there's hope in Christ. Pray for me.